Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. My name's Chris Lulahai. My wife Jenny and I have been coming to Jacob's Well for almost 2 years now, and it's been a fabulous part of our lives, of our community, of who we are and how we experience this adventure called life and this journey of life. So thank you all for being a part of that journey. I'm also the site host on Sunday morning, so I help out with kind of organizing the volunteers and transforming this place from Field Elementary School to Field Elementary School with curtains, so where we can gather as Jacob's Well. So if you ever feel like you have this urge inside of you to want to volunteer more, let me know, and it's a really cool opportunity to get to know the community a little bit better. So that's my one plug of the morning. So, and tomorrow, two plugs. Thank you, Melissa. I almost forgot too. So tomorrow night, we forgot to mention this before, but we are having a meeting about what's up with Jacob's Well, which is for anybody that's interested in the general kind of direction of this community. You are welcome. You are invited. We would love to have you there. There's more information of the WUWJW at the bottom of your Sunday paper, and it has more information. So it's 6:30 to 8 tomorrow. I will be there. And apparently there's dessert, so I really will be there. So it's on there. It's where our offices are, I believe. Yes. And it's up there. Perfect. Thank you, John. So, today we're starting kind of a new conversation as a community. We're starting with this idea of starting at square one and what that means for us and how do we look at our lives and understand why we're here and how did we get here. One of the keys, I think, to understanding this idea of square one is that it's not about judging the fact that we are where we are. The reality is, we've gotten here. So it's not that it's either bad or useless or wrong that we're here, but it's more of an opportunity to create some space to understand, why are we here? Is this where we want to be? Do we want to continue in this direction? And so throughout this conversation, we're going to start today with talking about square one with God. Then we're going to move with square one with us, with our community, and then square one with stuff. And so kind of analyzing and taking some time to open up some space for understanding, why are we where we are, and how do we move from here? And one of the large blessings of, I think, this community as a whole, and each one of you as individuals, is that you're an incredibly authentic bunch. You like to figure out where you are and what you do and integrate those two. And I think that's beautiful. But I think a big part of starting at square one is this opportunity to start there. To start with, how do we integrate what we think about things, about God, about our community, about stuff, and is it what we do with that? So younger people, and younger at heart people, we have these perplexinators that Melissa mentioned. I have a few more to give out, so I want to see if you can figure it out during the sermon or during the message. Woo! Sorry about that. I'm not a very good thrower. So we'll kind of go through the opportunity, the solving of the puzzle of the perplexinator later on in the message, but feel free to kind of explore with it as we're talking today. So as we start with square one with this concept and notion of God, the first place that I want to start is recognizing that we have a lot of baggage. For some of us, that's good baggage. For some of us, that's bad baggage. That's not really the point. It's not about judging whether this baggage about God is good or bad, but just recognizing the fact that, we have this baggage. We have these notions about who God is and how we experience God. Even when I say the word God, I immediately start to limit this idea of God, because it brings up a certain idea within your mind, within your experience, within how you've journeyed through this life. And even that notion in your mind of the thought of what God is limits God, limits that universal feeling of who God can be. And part of this idea of recognizing our baggage, and there's a little space on our Sunday paper that allows us to kind of write down, what baggage do you have about God? What notions do you have about God? Maybe for some of you, God is the wrathful God that judges us, and you don't really want to deal with that anymore. Maybe for some of you, God is just the clockmaker that started time at the beginning of this universe and doesn't really care much about us anymore. Maybe for some of you, God cares deeply about you as individuals and wants to give you everything you ask for. All of that kind of is the baggage that we come to this notion, this idea of God with. The baggage that we have the opportunity to let go of, to move from. And part of this notion is the idea that each one of us has a sample size of one in our idea with God. As we journeyed through life and kind of experienced what we've experienced, for me it was being born in Boston, Massachusetts, growing up in a suburb of Boston, coming out here for college, going down to Kansas City, Missouri to volunteer for a year, then coming back up here and trying this thing called seminary out, and then kind of continuing to explore. But what I'm realizing is that I kind of have blinders on. I only understand the kind of God that I have understood, that I've experienced within my life. And I think that's true for each one of us. Each one of us have a sample size of one of how we experience God. And so as we're moving to this idea of square one, it's moving to that idea that there are other options. There's another narrative of what God can mean in our lives. Maybe we take that other narrative, maybe we don't. That's not really my point here today. Instead, it's this opportunity of being able to sit back and realize there's another experience of who God can be in your life. Again, whether you have a healthy notion of God or unhealthy, whether you have a God that you really believe in and kind of can grab onto, or whether that notion of God is very hard for you to grasp onto, we can have another narrative of who God is. God is bigger than who we've created God to be. And I recognize that as we're starting from this idea of square one with our whole lives, and including this notion of God, we realize that there are certain emotions that come up for us. Maybe for you, it's a fear of change. Maybe you don't really like the idea of God that you have in your head or that you've been taught throughout your life, but if I let go of that, what do I have? What does God then mean to me? Maybe it's an excitement. Maybe you've never really had the opportunity to learn of what God can mean to you. And so you have this new opportunity, this blank slate in front of you of saying, you get to create this image of who God can be. You get to seek out this image of God in your life. Or maybe there's this hesitation that I've been there, done that, and I don't really like the idea of God anyways. And I recognize that. Some of us have that notion, that emotion, when we start with square one with God. And that even that word, when we hear it, brings up some kind of distaste for us. The reality is that as we go through this journey of life, part of what it is wrestling with the notion of the infinite, the universe. How do we fit in? What does our purpose look like? Why are we here? Whether we have a strong notion of God or we don't, we still wrestle with this concept, this idea within our own lives of who God can be to us and what does this really mean to live our lives? So this conversation gives us the opportunity to start at square one. What do we want God to be? How can God kind of make sense to us? How can we seek out that vision of God within our own lives, within our own community? So during Advent this year, one of the pieces of our conversation was one of the tools that we used during the Advent series was a hammer. And we talked about building boxes for God and then having the ability to smash those boxes. And I think what square one is really the opportunity to do is to build up a box for God and realize that we have the ability to smash those boxes and build new ones as they don't fit in, as we move, as we start to understand God in different ways and different kind of ideas and senses. So how does our baggage get in the way? We start building boxes for and around God. And again, it's not about a judgment of that this is bad or that we should have shame of this, but the reality is each one of us, we can't understand the infinite. So we have to start to narrow that down. We have to just to create a framework that we can comprehend in our limited human abilities. And when we face kind of struggles in life, we have two opportunities with these boxes. One is that we start to reinforce this notion of God within our lives. We start to reinforce this notion of God being what we want God to be, what we've been taught for God to be. We reinforce it with steel, with cement. We realize this box of God is unbreakable now. So we start to really limit God. Or the other option is that we just throw away this notion of God in general. We say, this isn't worth it for me anymore. I'm just going to move on my life without God, without a box around God. And so you'll see on your Sunday paper that we kind of have two options to go with. Either allow for the freedom of God, so then never creating any boxes, realizing that it's just the infinite, and we have no ability to hold on to anything. Or the need for understanding, that desire for control. So we're kind of drawn in these two directions with God and our understanding of God. And I think bringing us back to square one is realizing that we can hold the tension of both. We can hold the tension of both needing for understanding and a need for God's freedom. We can hold in tension that the fact that God can exist in a huge universal way, and we have the ability to understand God. And that ability can change and vary as we move through life. We can keep building up those boxes and destroying them as we move through life. So what does this tension look like between the two? And when I was thinking about this, I was struck with this image that this needing to understand God is like holding with a closed fist, grabbing on as tight as we can to this notion of God, and not being able to receive anything, but not giving anything up. Or I think we have this temptation to not put our hands up at all. To say, I'm out of this conversation. This idea of God doesn't make sense to me anymore. I don't really want to be part of this conversation. So we just kind of give up. And I think what the opportunity we have is to hold out our hands with open palms. To allow this notion of God to kind of flitter in like a butterfly and land in our hands for a while. And then we have another life experience where that doesn't make sense anymore, and it flitters away, and then a bird comes. However you want to imagine that, if we hold it with an open hand, we both have the ability to receive more about what God is and let go of some of that baggage that's not very helpful for us as we comprehend this notion of God. We have a video to show that I think lends us with a different opportunity, a different narrative of what God can look like and feel like in our lives. So if we could play that.
are you up to?
I'm going to find God.
Ah, I see. Well, dinner's at 6. Don't be late. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why are you in such a good mood?
I just ate Twinkies in the park with God. He's much younger than I expected.
So if you want to look it up, it's Twinkies with God, and it's on YouTube. So what does this make us think of? What does square one for God look like to us? I think this is one of our options. We get to embrace God in a way that looks very different than the God that we've seen in churches or that we've seen in books or that we've been taught. And yet, I think this is kind of an idea of how we can start with square one with God. This first notion of how I feel like God can be part of our lives is the fact that God is love. Now, what does that mean? We've heard it kind of a few times throughout the Bible. For those that are fans of Rev Run, God is love. No Rev Run fans, all right. But, so this notion of God is love, what can it mean to us? How can we experience that? The first idea that comes to mind for me is this notion that God loves me because God loves me because God loves me. And I couldn't quite get my head around this idea until I became a dad. My daughter's under a year old, for those that don't know, so I have the obligatory mention her in every sermon so far. So we only have a couple more months until she's a year, and then maybe it'll be every other sermon. But this holding Chloe in my arms for that first time, and I looked down at her, and I had an aha moment. I realized that no matter what she does in life, there's no way that she can earn more of my love. I can't love her more. And no matter what she does in life, there's no way I can love her less. There are times when I'm going to be really proud of her, and there are going to be other times where I'm going to be probably pretty upset with her, but that love is not going to change. I want the best for Chloe. I want her to succeed. I want her to feel loved. I want her to feel like she means something to this world. I want all of that for her. But my love is not contingent on that. And this is where I started to get the aha moment for me in this relationship with God. That God loves me. No matter what I do, no matter how much I screw up, or how hard I try to want to earn more love, God loves me. God is love. And so if this notion of God being love is true, then how freeing is that? And then at the same time, I'm struck with this idea that if God truly is love, what about the struggles that we face? What about the world around us? For those of you that don't know, I work as a hospital chaplain resident at Abbott Northwestern. And during one of my experiences with a patient, this young lady had been rescued from a sex trafficking ring about a week before. She was still experiencing a lot of the trauma from that, and she looked up at me at one point during our conversation, and she said, "I want to believe in this notion of God, but I don't know how. I feel like I'm stuck between this idea that either God is all-powerful, almighty, but God doesn't really love me enough to save me from that situation. Or God loves me totally, but just isn't strong enough." She said, "How do I deal with this tension?" I'll admit to you, in the time, I had no idea. I was looking into the pain and the hurt of this young lady's eyes. I didn't know how to answer. And then kind of after talking with staff about it, as we kind of digested through it, and then as we started preparing for this message, one of the things we talked about was the idea that maybe if we continue to ask kind of the wrong questions, we're not going to get very good answers. And maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe the question that I needed to answer during that time was that I'm here with you. I love you. I care about you. You matter to me. And if this is true, then this notion of God as love, how is that reflected in our lives? To me, that's reflected in the idea that we get to be God's hands and feet. We get to love one another, care for one another, walk alongside one another through this journey of life. Yeah, there are times when we just can't make sense of it. Times of loss and hardship where it just doesn't make sense to us. And yet we still have the opportunity to hold on to this notion of God being among us, with us, through us, and we get to be there alongside in the journey. So there's kind of a reflection here. So there's kind of an idea about God and then a reflected in how we live out our lives. And I'm going to make a crazy statement to all of you. You all, each one of you, no matter where you are in this journey of life, this journey of spirituality, each one of you is a theologian. You're right. I never would have thought it either. But each one of you gets to seek out this image of God that makes sense for you. And then as a reflection of that, as people that are striving to create a community that is both authentic and integrated, we get to then be what we believe God to be. Strive for that notion of God. And the same, I think, is true for the opposite. Some of us don't like to start with this heady notion of who God is, and yet you all love one another. You care about the people around you. You already are God's hands and feet in the world. And so what does that say about the God that you believe in? What does that say about the God that you can trust in, that you can start from square one with? And so there's a passage from Luke that I think really gets my head around this notion of God. It's Luke 10, 25 through 37. "One day an authority on the law stood up to put Jesus to the test. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to receive eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' Jesus replied. 'How do you understand it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, Love him with your with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do that and you will live. But the man wanted to make himself look good. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Here's where it gets fun. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Robbers attacked him. They stripped off his clothes and beat him. Then they went away, leaving him almost dead. A priest happened to be going down that same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. A Levite also came by. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side too. But a Samaritan came to the place where the man was. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him. He went to him, poured olive oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins. He gave them to the owner of the inn. Take care of him, he said. When I return, I will pay you back for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think became a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law said, the one who showed mercy to him. So Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Go and do the same. So here's this image of this beaten man on the side of the road with no one to help him, no one to walk alongside of him. And then comes Greg walking down the street. And of course, he goes to the other side of the road and just ignores him. And then a Levite. Levite's kind of the keepers of the law, the keepers of this idea of tradition. They're supposed to be the ones that represent God on earth. What does the Levite do? Does the same thing. And then there's this Samaritan. I feel like it needs to be unpacked a little bit just because that notion of a Samaritan is kind of foreign to us, except for the idea of a good Samaritan, right? Well, Samaritans were kind of outsiders of the Jewish faith. They didn't have the right box for God. They didn't have the right notion of who God is. And so they were considered outsiders. All their thoughts and ideas were kind of off compared to the rest of the Jewish people. And yet, this is the one that stopped and took care of this man. This is the one that was the hands and feet of God in that moment. So what does that say about us? We don't have to have the right box around God, the right notion of who God is. We just need to keep breaking down those boxes and rebuilding them back up. That's the blessing of this idea of square one. We have the freedom to both reimagine God and reimagine ourselves. The freedom to both reimagine God and reimagining ourselves within that. What more freedom could we want? So, if you could just take a breath with me. God, I thank you for this moment, this sacred moment in time of just being present with us, of walking alongside of us, of giving us the freedom to continue to reimagine who you are with us and how you walk alongside of us. I pray that you just give us the freedom, the courage, and the strength to continue to reimagine you in new ways, in beautiful ways, in healthy ways. And that we get to keep opening our hands up to the idea of you in our lives. Amen. So, for those that have been struggling through the Perplexinator, I want you to take it out. We have a video. My wife is the hand model in this video, so you can thank her for that when you see her next. But so this is the solution to the perplexinator. There she goes. The pink and the orange together. And then we add the green. Oh, they aren't. Oh. Okay. Then that other shape. And voila, we have the square in 30 seconds or less.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.